not literally, not holding to the premillennial view that Christ will literally return to the earth and set up his kingdom in the future. There's the preterist approach that these hold that Revelation is a record of the conflicts of the early church in Judaism and paganism, and that has been fulfilled. And they would say that Matthew 24, that deals with the tribulation, took place in 70 AD under the Roman government when they brought great persecution against the Jewish nation and against Christians. The historical approach, most of the post-millennialists hold to this. They believe that the world will become Christian, and when we convert the whole world to Christ, then Jesus will come back. But that is an approach that has changed. Few hold to that position anymore. But many of you remember when PTL was on TV and Pat Robertson and the 700 Club and some of those kind of people, they held to the post-millennial view because it lended for raising money, that if we can get enough money, we can convert the world to Christ so Jesus can come back. Well, it doesn't take man to do what he's going to do for Christ to come back. Christ will come at an appointed day, and that is set by God. And then there's what we view the futurist approach. As conservative Bible-believing Christians, we believe in the premillennial return of Christ and believe that Christ will return to this earth and set up his kingdom for 1,000 years, and then he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth where we'll dwell with him forever and forever. And in that approach, we also believe in a premillennial return and a pre-tribulation rapture for the saved of this age will go to be with the Lord. Now, the amillennialists refer to the 1,000 years spoken of in Revelation chapter 20, and most of the mainline denominations do not believe that's literal and will not take place, and they may or may not even believe in a rapture at all. Postmillennialists believe that the kingdom on earth is when Christians convert the world. And then the premillennialists, we believe that Christ will return for the church in what is called a pre-tribulation rapture. And then at the end of the tribulation, Christ will literally come back to the earth and fight the battle of Armageddon and set up his kingdom. And many of the postmillennialists back during World War II thought Hitler was the Antichrist and all that was being fulfilled. And then after World War II, when Israel became a nation again, some of those denominational groups changed their view on postmillennialism to premillennial because they saw that Israel is a nation again and God will deal with Israel in the future as he promised in his word. The church did not take the place of Israel. Israel and the church are distinct in that sense. The church will go to heaven to be with the Lord, and God will deal with Israel in the tribulation to draw them back, and many of them will be saved and become great witnesses for Christ on the earth in that time. Now, the revelation is a singular word. I hear people all the time say, do y'all study revelations? And revelations is plural, but revelation, the book of Revelation, is singular because it is the unveiling of the truth that God gave to Christ to give to us through John, the beloved disciple. It is called the apocalypse, meaning an uncovering or revealing or unveiling. It was penned humanly by John, the beloved disciple, who was given the message for us to read. Now, John wrote the revelation to remind suffering believers of the sovereignty of God and the redeeming work of Christ. He emphasized the completion of God's plan of redemption at the return of Christ in order to provide hope for troubled, persecuted believers in the world of the days of the early apostles and writers of the Bible. The visions and symbols of Revelation provide encouragement and hope for all generations of believers. They remind us that the resurrected Lord is carrying out God's plan and will return to judge and rule the earth in righteousness. So turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation 13. Last time we I spoke, we looked at chapter 13 and verse 1 through 10, and we saw there is a beast that will come upon the earth. And that beast, the word translates to mean a wild, venomous creature. He's called Antichrist. He will rise to power over the world in that day in the tribulation. And he will come to power with a golden tongue. And he will be a benevolent dictator to start. And then he will commit the abomination of desolation. It is spoken of in Matthew 24, 15, where Jesus warned of the future in the tribulation, that the abomination of desolation would take place at the mid of the tribulation period, and then there would be great wrath from God that would come upon men. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4, Paul wrote to the believers at Thessalonica, second letter, he said in chapter 2, verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition," referring to the Antichrist, "who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And so I define the abomination of desolation as the Antichrist declaring that he is God and that men must worship him. And we saw in Revelation 13, 1 through 10, that not only will he require men to worship him, but also to worship the dragon. And we saw that the dragon is Satan. Back in Revelation 12, verse 7 through 9, Michael, the archangel, will have war in heaven with Satan, the dragon, and cast him down to the earth with his angels. And he knows he has but a little time in the tribulation, and he will do everything he can to bring destruction. And he will persecute the nation of Israel in that day. But God has prepared a place for them where they will be sustained to survive in those last days. Now, Revelation 13 and verse 11. "I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Or 666, the number of man is 6. And this is explained for us here. Now the second beast that is seen in Revelation is the false prophet, making up an unholy trinity of Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet. And they will demand that men worship the Antichrist, the first beast, and Satan, who is the dragon. And this unholy trinity has a resurrection to mock the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They mock the power of God in calling down fire from heaven. They mock and blaspheme God with their words. And we must have understanding of these things so that we can warn men on the earth not to be deceived by the false prophet. In Revelation 17, in verse 7 through 18, if you want to turn there with me. He sees a woman drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of martyrs, and he wonders with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, verse 7 of chapter 17, "Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, of the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. The beast which thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is at their present day. And the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not is even of the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition," which refers to hell. "And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings." Say amen right there. "And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues," languages. "And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beasts, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." Now look at chapter 19, if you would, with me. Jesus will return to the earth one day in wrath and vengeance. Revelation 19, 11. "I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." So Christ will return to judge and make war. Then drop down to verse 19. "I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." Back in Matthew chapter 23 and 24, chapter 24 deals with the tribulation. Chapter 23, verse 5, speaks of false prophets and those that abuse the word of God, the false teachers of their day. In Matthew 23, verse 5, "But all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at the feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi." So Christ is referring to the religious leaders of his day and time as false teachers. Verse 13 says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them to enter in, who are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." So Christ rebuked these religious leaders of his day as false teachers and warned men about them. Now we go back to Revelation 13 and verse 1 as we look at the false prophet. A major weapon in Satan's army is deception. Jesus said the devil is a liar and the father of lies, or the originator of lies, in John 8 and verse 44. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 4, he disguises himself as an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of light. And so false teachers and false prophets deceive many people as being true preachers and true prophets. And people who do not know the Lord as their Savior, who can't interpret the Scripture, or those who have not been saved for long and don't understand the dispensational teachings of the Bible, can easily be confused with Scripture, not able to interpret Scripture with Scripture. And Satan uses Scripture just like he did in the temptation with our Savior that we looked at in Matthew chapter 4. Now, he entered Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. His servants, demons, likewise deceive and disguise. They are wicked. They lie. They spread false teaching. They deceive all they possibly can. Now, keep your bookmark here in Revelation 13. Turn all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13, and we'll see early warnings about false prophets. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 1. Deuteronomy 13 verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God. And he gives an early warning about false prophets, and that has not changed. While you're turning, go to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. We'll see more about false teachers and false prophets in Jeremiah 23 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of God. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Drop down to verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in a secret place that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. And then verse 31-32 of the same chapter. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And the New Testament, Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 15 through 23 said, "Beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They intend to take advantage of the people." And Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 2 a great warning against them. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways." The word pernicious means damnable and destructive. And the false prophet will bring in destructive ways to take advantage of men to rule over them. And there are great warnings against them. In 2 Peter verse 4 through verse 22, for the time's sake, I'm not going to read all that passage, but I hope you at home will write that down, 2 Peter 2. And verse 4 through 22, and read that involving these false teachers and how they deceive many. 1 John 4, 1 says, "Not to believe every spirit, for there are many spirits that have gone out into the world, and the spirit of Antichrist is already involved in the evil that plagues us and false teaching." There are several vices that the Scripture characterizes among false prophets. In Jeremiah 23, they are wicked and adulterous, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the Scripture says. They are greedy in Ezekiel 22, 25. They are self-deceived in Ezekiel 13. They are idol worshipers in Jeremiah 2 and 23. And they shall die in judgment from God. And we know that the end of the book of Revelation, the beast and the false prophet and Satan will be cast alive into the lake of fire, where they will be tormented day and night forever and forever. And so their judgment will come. Jesus said in the last days there will be many false teachers that will deceive many. The false prophet and the Antichrist will have the power of Satan at their disposal upon the earth. They will use religion and miracles and economic control over the people. False prophet will be convincing, subtle like a snake, appealing, hypnotic, controlling the masses of people and molding and shaping mankind on the earth in that day after the will of their unholy trinity of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Now, John reveals three key elements about the false prophet. Number one, in Revelation 13 and verse 11, his person. The Bible says, "And I beheld another beast." The word "another" is a simple word, but in the Greek language it's the word "elos," which means another of the same kind. So the beast that he sees, the false prophet, is of the same kind as the Antichrist. He will point men to worship the Antichrist, and he will have the added benefit of killing them if they're unwilling to receive the mark of the beast and to worship the image of the beast and to worship Satan. He will be Satan's lying mouthpiece, and he will preach and dictate to man in that day and control men by the economy. Secondly, his power, chapter 13, verse 12 through 14. The false prophet will have the power of Satan. He will exercise authority to cause men to worship the Antichrist and the image of the beast. He will use miracles to deceive, including calling down fire from heaven. and he will hold over men the economic control. He makes this image of the beast and gives it the power to speak, so men will be in awe of it, and all men on the earth will be required by this government to receive the mark or the number or his name on their wrist or their forehead in order to be able to buy or sell. And without that, they will be at the mercy of their wit and the grace of God to survive with food and whatever. Thirdly, his program in verse 15 through 18. This image that he will create of the beast. I remember when there was a period of time that people were preaching that the beast was a computer and had everybody's name and number in it and all this sort of thing, you know, but that's never been the case. When you go to the end of Revelation, you find they're cast alive into the lake of fire. God doesn't throw computers into the lake of fire. He throws people in the lake of fire. And these demonic people will be judged and punished in that day. Men will be killed if they do not take the mark of the beast. Many will die in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. A great portion of the earth of population will die. Let me read you something. A man who lived in Bulgaria under communist regime wrote, "You cannot understand and you cannot know the most terrible instrument of persecution ever devised is an innocent ration card. You cannot buy or sell without it. You can be starved to death if they please. You can lose all that you have without the government approval to buy or to sell." On top of this, murder is the option not to go along with the government of that day. People are easily deceived by religion and by either fake miracles or real miracles that take place. I remember the fellow that sends everybody the holy water, you know, Peter Popoff. He used to be an evangelist, and he was preached in little old tent meetings and all around. And this fellow who was a magician by the name of the Amazing Randy took a radio device to pick up the signals. I can't think of what I'm trying to say. A frequency device, and in his meeting, and picked up that the guy's wife was behind the curtain with a microphone talking to her husband who had an earpiece, and she would say things like, "Yeah, go to your left, no, farther on down, that guy sitting on the very end down there, he's got a heart problem." And so he'd say, "I see God telling me you've got a heart problem." And the man, "Oh, thank God, God knows about my heart problem," you know. And he'd hit them in the head, and they'd fall over in their chair, and supposedly they were healed and all that sort of thing. And that kind of thing has gone on for years and years and years. They've done the carnival tricks with having a man sit down in a chair and stick his leg out, and his leg was lame, and they pull his shoe out a little bit, and then they push his shoe back in and say, "He's healed, his leg is the same length as the other one now." And just all kind of things like that. And what they say when their hand is called is that they do these things to get people to generate faith, to believe. My friends, you don't generate faith believing lies. You generate faith by believing the truth of the Word of God. A false prophet in Revelation is false because he promotes a false god, Satan. He worships the wrong person, Antichrist, and not Jesus Christ. He deceives instead of preaching truth. His miracles are from the power of Satan, not from the power of God, including calling down fire from heaven. Murders those who reject him. The Lord Jesus gives life to believers, eternal life. But the Antichrist and the false prophet will murder men who do not cooperate with their program. He enslaves men by oppression and economic control. God blesses and supplies our needs. The Antichrist will enslave men by using their needs. And the false gospel and the mark of the beast all reveal the false prophet of Revelation. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people in coming tonight to be here in the service. And for all of those who are watching at home, we pray your blessings upon us that we might study and know the word of God and rest in your truth and help people to know the truth of God's word, to have peace in their mind and their heart, that they're saved and they're going to heaven, and that God is in charge of their life and will supply their needs. So, Lord, as we see things happening in our government today with men trying to control men through various means, we see a little of this stuff that's coming in the future. We pray that you'll help us to warn the unsaved that they might be saved before it's everlastingly too late. And we pray for them in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.